In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Well, it looks like we all made it for the time change. Thank God. So on this Sunday, the first Sunday of Great Lent, we commemorate the Sunday of Orthodoxy. This is a commemoration of the decision of the Seventh Ecumenical Council maintaining the proper use of icons in Christian worship. There was a division in the Christian churches over how or whether icons should be used. Some began to think that the veneration of icons was equal to idolatry and sought to exclude their use in worship, and in some cases even sought to destroy them, which is where we get the term iconoclasm, icon smashing. So the council declared, after meeting and deliberating, that the veneration of icons is not anything like worshiping created matter, the wood and the paint, but rather it is, as it always had been, honoring the one depicted in the icon. And so the veneration of the icon, the reverence of the icon, is passed on to the one depicted, as St. Basil says. But the Sunday of Orthodoxy is not just about icons. Rather, it's about keeping the faith in Christ that the apostles received and is preserved in the church. We as Christians don't have a dualistic mindset of spiritual good, material bad, as some do. God declared his creation good on every day of his creation. And in his incarnation as a human being, he entered into his creation, sanctifying and redeeming it all. We sang in a Vespers hymn last night, "When thou tookest flesh, thou didst also take on its whole nature with all its properties. Wherefore, depicting that likeness of thine image, O sovereign Lord, we kiss it, offering relative worship, and are raised up to thee. And therefrom we draw forth the grace of healings, truly following in the apostles' traditions that they received from Christ our God." And so through this holy council, not only was the veneration of icons restored, but those who were alienated from each other over this issue were brought back into unity. For unity is the key in the Christian life. And yet, we're faced with the sad reality of so much division in our world, even among Christians. Right now, we have this terrible war in Ukraine, neighbor against neighbor, Christian against Christian in most cases. Destruction, chaos, loss of life. This is not God's will for his people. So it's difficult to know how to respond in these cases. Often the first response is of love and compassion for the victims. And this is good. Please continue in this. You'll have an opportunity to show your love and compassion towards the end of the liturgy. We'll collect funds to send to support the refugees and other recovery processes. So this is good, love and compassion. But don't let your love for one turn into hatred of the other. For God has united himself to all humanity, calling all to the knowledge of the truth. For what benefit is there and vilifying the person that God desires to save. We neither help those who need it by doing this, nor do we contribute to the salvation of the aggressor. In the end, we only end up separating ourselves from Christ, who loves us all. There was a Russian church in Britain that was vandalized 2 days ago. People broke in, stole things, trashed everything. They took holy relics, other church valuables, including, and here's the irony, breaking open the safe and taking the money that this parish had just collected for Ukrainian refugees. No one was helped by this action. But through this action, someone did become a burglar and a vandal and set themselves apart from God. Indignation at injustice, no matter how justified, when it turns into hatred, becomes counterproductive. And so, what is the answer? How do we respond? There's a sermon written in 1968 by Metropolitan Anthony of Suraj. 1968 was a similarly difficult year with warfare, assassinations, general upheaval. And so Metropolitan Anthony, in his sermon, wrote, "In the face of what is going on in front of the cross, death, and spiritual agony of people, let us renounce the pettiness and insignificance of our life, and then we will be able to do something by prayer, by our way of life, and perhaps more. But let us remember that Christ did not differentiate between people. Christ died for all, because righteous are persecuted and because sinners perish. In his unity with all the people around us, in this dual unity with a righteous and a sinner, let us pray for the salvation of both. For the mercy of God, that the blind may see and the truth may be established. Not judgment, but truth. This truth will lead us to love, to the triumph of unity, and to the victory of God. Amen." So this is a much better answer. To pray for all, for an end to hatred and hostility, for reconciliation and unity to those who have been estranged, and to have this unity centered on Christ. Discernment and love, never judgment or condemnation. St. Porphyrius has this little gem that I'd like to share with you. You don't become holy by fighting evil. Let evil be. Look towards Christ, and that will save you. What makes a person saintly or holy is love. So whatever is happening around you, join yourself to Christ, who is truth, who is love, and who is peace. And ask God to help others to do the same. Now, our local Orthodox community is no stranger to division. In fact, we've had over 23 years of it. And I thank God that long overdue healing and reconciliation is beginning to take place. This is God's desire for his people. For what is accomplished by dwelling on what should have or shouldn't have happened, or who said or did certain things, the answer is very little. Very little is accomplished. Other than perhaps maintaining that division that Christ desires to be healed. When we dwell on these things, we end up as iconoclasts against the image of God in our neighbor, and denying with our attitudes and our actions that very faith that we profess in church. Ephesians 2, St. Paul, speaking of the division of Jews and Gentiles, I believe is similarly applicable in this situation. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. It's this last little bit of putting to death hostility through the cross that I'd like to draw our attention to today. For through the cross, God draws all humanity to himself and unites God to man. For God so loved the world that he became man, uniting himself to his creation. He became everything that we are, so that we might become everything that he is by his grace. In his earthly ministry, he joined all sorts of people to himself. Jews and Gentiles, fishermen and educated, Pharisees, harlots, tax collectors, probably a few actual righteous people as well. And when he was raised up on the cross, his arms were stretched out horizontally to gather not only his disciples, but all people to himself. And he descended into Hades to free those bound by death there. He rose from the dead and ascended, enthroned at the right hand of his Father. Both vertical and horizontal unity. He was incarnate. He died. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, with all people being united together in him. This is the symbol that we make on ourselves multiple times every day. I haven't bothered counting how many times on a Sunday. But this is what we sign ourselves with, this cross. This is the faith of the apostles. This is the faith of the fathers. This is the faith of the Orthodox. This is the faith that has established the universe. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.